Chapter 5. Firefighter Personal Equipment. Introduction. Welcome. TANSI. Essentials of Firefighting. Course Objectives. Describe the various types and uses of personal protective equipment, PPE, worn by firefighters. 4. Quant. 1.1. 4.3.2. 4.3.3. Describe the inspection, cleaning, and maintenance of PPE. 4.1.2. Describe conditions that require the use of respiratory protection equipment. 4.3.01. Identify SCBA components. 4.1.1. Describe SCBA limitations. 4.3.1. Describe the procedures for donning and doffing SCBA. 4.3.1. Explain the process of inspecting and cleaning SCBA. 4.5.1. Describe methods of refilling, replacing, and storing SCBA cylinders. 4.4.3.1.4.4.5.1. Describe safety considerations for working in and exiting a hazardous atmosphere while wearing SCBA. 4.3.1. Firefighters and emergency responders work in a wide variety of hazardous environments. To protect your life and health, you must wear the proper safety equipment correctly at all times. This chapter provides an overview of two types of safety equipment: personal protective equipment, PPE, and respiratory protection. You will learn about the different types of this equipment, their functions, proper usage, and maintenance. Now, what? Let's get learning. Lesson 1. Outcomes. Explain the basic principles of fire science. Personal protective equipment, PPE. Firefighters should wear personal protective equipment, PPE, that is appropriate for the type of incident and activity being performed. Properly wear all PPE with all closures fastened, SCBA facepiece in place, and air cylinders activated before entering the structure. Your helmet's face shield, if so equipped, can provide a secondary layer of eye protection. Your supervisor, incident safety officer, or another firefighter should perform a quick inspection to make sure your PPE is properly donned and operational before you enter the structure. Figure 5.1. A quick inspection of each firefighter's PPE should be made before they enter a hazardous environment. PPE is designed to protect you from hazards and minimize the risk of injury or fatality. PPE usually consists of the following: respiratory protection equipment, personal alert safety system, PASS, helmets, coats, trousers, boots, protective gloves, and protective hoods, eye protection, hearing protection. Some emergency situations require full sets of PPE, including respiratory protection, while others require only protective clothing. Types of PPE include station and work uniforms, structural firefighters' protective clothing, wildland firefighting protective clothing, roadway operations protective clothing, emergency medical protective clothing, special protective clothing such as chemical protective clothing. Note: emergency medical protective clothing and special protective clothing are beyond the scope of this chapter. You will likely learn about emergency medical protective clothing when you are trained to your AHJ's level of emergency medical services training. Special protective clothing is taught during hazardous materials awareness and operations training. Station and work uniforms. Station and work uniforms perform two basic functions. First, they identify the wearer as a member of the organization. Second, they provide a layer of protection against direct flame contact. Figure 5.2. Firefighters should not wear clothing made of non-fire-resistant synthetic materials while on duty or under PPE, because these materials can melt when heated and stick to the skin, causing serious burns. Types of non-fire-resistant synthetic materials include nylon, iron-on patches, polyester, transfer decals. Note: refer to department policies concerning what can and cannot be worn while on duty or under PPE. All station and work uniforms should meet NFPA 1975 requirements. This standard provides the minimum requirements for workwear that is functional, will not contribute to firefighter injury, and will not reduce the effectiveness of outer PPE. Garments addressed in this standard include trousers, shirts, jackets, and coveralls, but not underwear. Underwear made of 100% cotton is recommended. NFPA 1975 compliant garments have a permanently attached label stating their compliance certification. While this clothing is designed for fire resistance, it is not designed for firefighting operations. You must always wear structural firefighting protective clothing over these garments during structural firefighting activities. Depending on their design and local protocols, you may wear wildland protective clothing over station and work uniforms or directly over undergarments. Some station and work uniforms are dual certified as both work uniforms and wildland protective clothing. Dual certified uniforms will always carry the appropriate certification labels. Safety shoes or boots are part of the station and work uniform. They are required footwear when working around the station. Safety shoes or boots usually have steel toes, puncture-resistant soles, or special inserts. Do not wear station footwear during emergency operations because they might contaminate living quarters with potentially hazardous substances when you return to the station. Any emergency response can soil or contaminate uniforms. Therefore, you should not take uniforms home or wash them in personal washing machines or at public laundromats. Contaminated uniforms must be laundered at the fire station or by a contractor. Structural firefighting, PPE, all. PPE designed for structural and proximity firefighting must meet the requirements of NFPA 1971, Figure 5.3. This standard addresses the requirements for key takeaways. Uniform should meet NFPA 1975 requirements and have compliance label attached. Designed for fire resistance but not firefighting operations. May be worn under structural or wildland PPE. Some are dual certified as work uniforms and wildland protective clothing. Shoes required at the station. Usually have steel toes, puncture-resistant soles, or special inserts. Do not wear during emergency operations. Contamination. Do not take home uniforms. Do not launder uniforms in personal or public machines. Uniforms must be laundered at the station or by a contractor. Labels must include the following information. Manufacturer's name, identification, or designation. Country of manufacture. Month and year of manufacture. Size or size range. Footwear size and width, where applicable. Manufacturer's address. Manufacturer's lot or serial number. Model name, number, or design. Principal materials of construction. Cleaning precautions. PPE components must be compatible with each other to provide the level of protection intended by the NFPA standard. Each component is designed to protect you from specific hazards and may not protect you from other hazard types. For instance, structural PPE offers no protection against many types of hazardous materials. Firefighters should never alter their protective clothing. Changing, adding, or removing components may endanger your life, void the manufacturer's warranty, and/or affect your workers' compensation benefits. Alterations include removing the moisture barrier or liner of coats and trousers, sewing hooks, loops, or clasps to the outer shell, adding combustible decals to the helmet. Structural PPE is designed to cover all portions of your skin when you are reaching, bending, or moving. It is also designed to prevent heat transfer from the fire to your body. During heat exposure, the clothing absorbs the heat, which prevents transfer to the skin, but there are limits to how much heat the structural protective clothing can absorb. When the gear reaches its limits, the clothing will become hot enough to cause contact burns when trapped heat permeates the firefighter's underclothing or the firefighter's bare skin touches the material. The usual temperature limit is somewhere above 400 degrees F. 200 degrees C. The time until the protective clothing reaches a dangerous absorption limit varies based on the heat transfer rate. The lower the heat transfer rate, the longer the protective clothing will protect you and stay within tolerable limits. Since protective clothing absorbs and stores heat, it can take longer than expected to cool. Simply leaving a hot environment for a short period of time may not be long enough to cool the clothing to safe levels for re-entry into a fire environment. You may experience contact burns or heat stress even after leaving a heated environment if you do not follow rehab protocols that allow enough time for the clothing to cool. Protective clothing also prevents heat from being transferred away from your body. Usually, your body sweats to cool itself, but the protective clothing traps body heat and moisture inside the clothing barriers. This may significantly increase the following conditions, Figure 5.5. Breathing and heart rate. Core temperature, skin temperature, physiological stress. If environmental conditions allow, open your protective clothing to permit airflow around your body during authorized breaks or trips to rehabilitation facilities. This will lessen heat stress and reduce your heart rate.